Yesterday, I had a very special opportunity to hear a lot of Torah from Harav Hagon Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. And while I definitely wanted to move on into more Tzroros discussions on Daf Yud Tes today, we may push that off till tomorrow. Because if you recall, on Monday, we were discussing what Tosos points out on the top of Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Tosos discusses how it could be that Rav argues on a Tana, and Tosos says, that's no problem. Stam Amri Be Rav Mishmei De Rav V'Rav Tana Upalik. That was Namri Be Rav arguing on a Tana. Rav is a Tana, and he argues. So we started the discussion, and I thought we had concluded the discussion, but we started to talk about what's the deal? What are the rules? When is a Tana allowed? When is an Amora allowed to argue on a Tana? By declaring himself a Tana, Rav saying Tana hu upalig, so I can argue. And when do we say that no, that an Amora is not allowed to argue on a Tana? What exactly are the ground rules? And do we have the same thing with Rishonim and Amoraim? And what about Achronim and Rishonim? So where exactly do we draw the lines? Why are these lines drawn? What is the Mechayev? So we started discussing, and I thought we finished discussing that issue, but then I just yesterday I happened to be by Rav Asher Weiss, and he gave like an hour long shiur on this very topic, and I said, okay, that's a simon min hashamayim that. And obviously he had a lot more marmakomos and thoughts than we expressed last time. So let's take one more day. Let's take one more day, because it's a very yisodistic topic. I think it's a very basic issue. I was just mentioning to Rabbi Marcus earlier that he was there as well. And I said, what did you think of that shiur? He said it was great, because he said his kids asked him something. He said one of his children just asked him that question. Why is it that an Amora can't argue on a Tana? What are the rules? Who's allowed to argue with who and who's not allowed to argue with who? So these are important issues. So let's quickly review what we did. The Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Mamrim writes that if you're in Halacha Aleph, that Beis Din Gadol, that Darshins Ba'achas Min Amidos, uses the Midos Shatar and Drashas Ben the way they're supposed to, and they therefore establish a Din. Va'omar Achareyam Beis Din Acher, V'nirlo Tam Acher, Listoroso. A later Beis Din comes along, and they find something that they think is more logical against what the earlier Beis Din said. Hareze Soser V'dan Kifi Mashenir Be'inam. They have the right to reject it, to contradict the earlier Beis Din, and do what they think is correct, because the pasuk says, "Al Shofet Asher Yeh B'Yam Mehem," that "Ein Chachayv Leleches Ela Achar Beis Din Shebedorcha," that you only have to follow the Beis Din in your generation. You need not follow Beis Din Batei Din of earlier generations if the Beis Din of your generation says otherwise. So, on the spot, the Kesem Mishnah raises the question: Am I lo pligi? Am I right? Yatanoi. Why doesn't an Amora ever argue on a Tana? The whole premise of Shas, of the whole Shaklevitario, of the way things work in Shas, is that if an Amora says something and we say, oh, but Vatnan, there's a Mishnah, and the Mishnah's against you, he better have an answer for that. And if he doesn't have an answer for that, we reject him. It's a Tiyufta. He's gone. There's no defense. Why can't the answer be, do you know who I am? I'm a holy Amora. Why can't I argue? But the whole premise is that you can't. The whole premise is that he's not allowed to argue. So that's the Kesef Mishnah's Kasha. So the Kesef Mishnah suggested that at the time of the Chasimas HaMishnah, Kimu V'Kiblu, that the later generations are no longer going to argue on the earlier generations. And there was a similar Kimu V'Kiblu at the end of the times of the Gemara, at the Chasimas HaTalmud, that the Rishonim decided, you know what, the Gaonim, the Rishonim, we're not going to argue on the Gemara. That was a Kabbalah that the rabbis of that generation made at that time. The problem with this suggestion, the weakness with this suggestion, we pointed out last time, if it was all based on a Kabbalah of the rabbis who lived then, why am I bound by that Kabbalah? Okay, you want to be mekabel something on yourself that you don't want to argue with someone, because hey, don't argue with someone. Why am I bound by that? Why am I not allowed to argue? But by what halachic mechanism can their Kabbalah be mechayiv me? So that was the issue. Now, it could be that it wasn't just a Kabbalah, it was a takana. And we know that a takana or a gezeira that a Beis Din makes, what's the rule when a takana, when a Beis Din makes a takana or a gezeira? Can a later generation just undo it? Only if? Good. Gadol menu b'chachma u'b'minyan. Okay, that much chutzpah I don't have. To say that we're gadol b'chachma u'b'minyan, then the batei din at the chasimas ha-talmud and at the siyum ha-mishnah, no, that we can't say. Right? So maybe it was a takana. But Rav Asher Weiss points out, it's a chiddush gadol to say that they made such a takana and such a gezeira when we don't have any makar mefurush b'chazal that there ever was such a takana or such a gezeira. It's just sort of like this premise that they don't argue, but nowhere do we find a source that says, oh, an Amora is not allowed to argue on a Tana because they made a takana that he's not allowed to. We don't find that anywhere. So approach number two, Rav Elchanan, not the Rav Elchanan we mentioned last time, Rav Elchanan Maseches Bava Basra, Os Tuf Reish Lamed Gimel, in Kovet Shirim, quotes from his Rebbe. Rav Elchanan had a couple of Rebbeim. Who were the famous Rebbeim, Rav Elchanan Wasserman? Chavetz Chaim was one of them, good. And yeah, what did you say? Reb Chaim Brisker, right. The Brisker of his, the Grizz is Reb Chaim's son, but Reb Chaim Brisker. So Reb Chaim quotes from Reb Chaim Brisker that B'derech Klal Amoraim did not argue on Tanaim because the, and therefore, since that was their Hanhaga, when the Gemara asks on an Amora, oh, there's a Tana against you, what we're saying is, you probably wouldn't want to be arguing on a Tana, and therefore, if you are, you are probably unaware of what the Tana said. So now that we're making you aware, you want to back out, don't you? Meaning, if we have a Tana that goes against you, and you don't have any way to reconcile how that Tana is not against you, you're probably going to want to back out. Essentially, what Rav Elchanan says is, there is no rule that an Amor is not allowed to argue on a Tana. They just generally didn't. But there's no rule, there's no way. If an Amora wanted to get up and argue on a Tana, Rav Tana hu upalu. Because someday, Rav can go and act like a Tana and argue another Tanaim. Completely within his rights to do so. Now, the reason Reb Chaim wanted to say that is that there is a Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Kuf Ayin Amar Aleph. That. What? Reb Chaim quoted Reb Chaim. So the Chanan quoting Reb Chaim, there is a Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Ayin where Rav disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and the Rosh Bram says, "Yeah, Rav Tanu Upalig Vahalacha Kamosa." That Rav is a Tanu Upalig, and guess what? We paskin like Rav against Tanoim. Problem is, Tosus and Ksubas and Daf Chesam and Aleph tells us that Rabbi Yochanan argues on Rav, and Tosus asks, we find in Shas Rabbi Yochanan argues on Rav. Tosus asks, Rav Yochanan, didn't you get the news? Rav is a Tana. You're not supposed to argue on Tanaim. So why was Rav Yochanan allowed to argue on Rav? So Tosfos says he argues on Rav because Rav Yochanan didn't think Rav was a Tana. Rav thought Rav was a Tana. Rav Yochanan says that's a Tana. That's an Amora. We're living. We're walking on this earth, breathing the same air at the same time. That's no Tana. So Rabbi Yochanan didn't hold Rav to be a Tana. The problem then becomes, the rule is in Halacha. Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan held that Rav's not a Tana. So how could we paskin like Rav against Tanaim? Again, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha is Rabbi Yochanan. And we know that Rav held he's a Tana, but Rabbi Yochanan held that Rav is not a Tana. The halacha should be that Rav is... what? Oh, come on. The halacha should be, again, let's say it again. If Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, Rabbi Yochanan, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav, and Rav holds I'm a Tana, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you are not. The halacha is that Rav is an Amora, right? That Rav's not a Tana. And if Rav is an Amora, and then he tries to pick a fight with Tanaim, who should we paskin like? The Tanaim. Why? Because Rav's an Amora.
Every time Rav disagrees with Yochanan about everything, we just go to Yochanan.
There are klalei psak like this, that we paskin like certain, like for example, when Rav disagrees with Shmuel about something. So there's a klal in psak halacha, hilchsa kirav bi'isure. We paskin like Rav if it's about ritual law, like Shmuel if it's about monetary law. There are rules like Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, yeah, every time, you know, with rare exceptions. So there is such a klal. So that's what was bothering Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim says, it can't be that there's a rule that an Amora is not allowed to argue with Tana. There's no rule. It's most of them just didn't, and Rav did. Most of them, that was their hanhaga, that they just didn't. So Rav Asher says, you don't have to say like Reb Chaim. There are other ways to answer this kasha. There are other ways to answer this kasha. How it could be that we paskin like Rav against Tanoim if Rav Rabbi Yochanan left Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan held that Rav's not a Tana. One possibility is, when we say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav, that's when Rabbi Yochanan and Rav are arguing about a halacha. You know, they're arguing, how do you do Netilas Yadayim exactly? You know, is this fish kosher or not kosher? They're arguing about halacha. Ah, so then we have a rule, like you said, we pass them like Rabbi Yochanan. But if they're arguing about who they are, you know, what are you? Do you identify as a Tana or do you not identify as a Tana? So that's not a matter of halacha. That we don't. That's not something where you're going to say that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Rav's status, he wants to know, should he change his Facebook status to Tana or put it as a Mora? Go to Gehenna for giving these examples, but the question is so that's not a matter of halacha. We don't have the rule that we pass on Rabbi Yochanan against Rav in that case. And furthermore, Rav Asher says it's anyway not that's not a machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is Rav a Tana. Who's the one that said Rav is a Tana? Rav didn't go out and say, "Hey everybody, I'm a Tana." No, it was the later generations that decided to paskin like him that sort of affirmed him as a Tana. He's not the one that advertised himself as a Tana. I would argue that that's not so pashut. Because he sort of did advertise himself as a Tana. How so?
By arguing.
By arguing on Tanaim. So he kind of advertised himself as a Tana. Anyway, that's how Rav Asher says you could alternatively answer what was bothering Reb Chaim Brisker rather than saying what Reb Chaim says, that, yeah, there's just no rule. Just most Amoraim didn't like to argue on Tanayim, but it wasn't really a thing. It's not really a rule that an Amor is not allowed to argue on a Tana. You have a question? Yeah. That's what, right. That was the impetus. Because Rav Elchanan asked Reb Chaim that question, and that was Reb Chaim's answer. So that was the impetus. Now, the question then becomes, according to Reb Chaim, would you say that after the Chasimus HaGemara, if one of the Gaonim decides he wants to argue on the Gemara, we can paskin like him? Because there's no rule? There's never a rule that this generation is allowed to argue on that. So, Rav Asher suggests a third possible approach. His third approach is as follows. If you look carefully at the formulation of the Rambam, that Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim describes an earlier Beis Din came along. They made a din based on the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben. And then a later Beis Din, Amar Achrei Beis Din Acher. And here are the words. Vinire lo tam acher listoroso. The later Beis Din came up with a new reason to contradict the earlier Beis Din. Hareze soser vidan. They can then contradict the earlier Beis Din and don the halacha the way they want to, and learn the halacha the way they want to. Says Rav Asher. Part of the permission, or the very basis of the permission of the later Beis Din to argue on the earlier Beis Din, is that nira lo tam acher listar, that they understand what the earlier Beis Din said, and they reject it because from depth of understanding they reject it, not from lack of understanding. You know, there are different ways that you could not understand something. You could not understand something because it's wrong. I don't understand, you know, a parent tells a child, I don't understand, why would you put foil in the microwave just to see what happens? I don't understand. And it's not that, oh, there's an answer. And that, no, there's no, just don't try to answer. There's no answer. it's wrong. I don't understand because it's wrong. And then there's, I don't understand because I just don't understand. What was the maisa someone told me? I'm trying to remember who I say with this maisa a lot. Was it Ramesha? Yeah, a guy came and asked a question to Ramesha, the chasana. I think it was maybe Rav Tversky said over this maisa. I don't remember. But someone came over to Ramesha the chasana and asked him a question in learning, and Ramesha said, I think it was Ramesha, it may not have been. And Ramesha said, I don't know. And the guy was like, all right. You know, like, he doesn't know, I don't know, you know, like, pretty good. Like, and the guy walked over, and Ramesha says, it's so cute that he thinks his I don't know is the same as my I don't know. You know, his I don't know is like, you know, I don't know what it says in this book because I don't know what these Hebrew characters are. That's one kind of I don't know. Another kind of I don't know is, yeah, I was also bothered by Rabbi Kivager's Kasha. You know, it's a different level of I don't know. When a later Bezin comes along, it has to be the kind of I don't know, I don't understand, that saying that I do understand and you're wrong. But if they mamish don't understand, then they can't argue. If they're not even yorid the self daitam, then they can't argue. So Rav Asher says, what happened when they concluded the Mishnah at the end of the generations of the Tanaim? And what again happened at the end of the generations of the Amoraim was that people realized that our I don't know was not a Rav Maisha I don't know. Our I don't know was a little Yatz's I don't know. That we just don't understand. We can't be Yorid the Sof Daita. If you can't be Yorid the Sof Daita, if you can't understand what they were saying, then there's no way you can argue on them. Because part of the basis of any machlokas is to understand the other side so that you have with what to argue. My problem with this approach, and it could read into the Kesef of Mishnah, it makes sense. My problem with this approach is, I think I mentioned last time, there was a gap, I'm sure, between the last generation of Tanayim and the first generation of Amoraim, right? I'm sure there was a gap. The last generation of Amoraim and the first generation of Gaonim. Where is the gap greater? Between the last generation of Tanayim and the first generation of Amoraim, or between, I don't know, me and Rabbi Kiva Eger? I would think the gap between me and Rabbi Kiva Eger is significantly wider. Meaning, what's the measuring stick of where we say that the gap has widened so much that we can no longer argue because we no longer really understand? Like, what was it about those specific generations that something caused a massive shift? So this is where Rav Soloveitchik's idea can really come in handy. Rav Asher, for some reason, doesn't learn Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. I don't know why. He's mechavin to half of it, but he doesn't learn Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik, I don't, never resonated with him for some reason. Not like as a hashkafa thing. It's just never. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, as we pointed out last time, I think Rav Moshe Soloveitchik suggested that no, there was a major gap that was created, and that's because they stopped learning things bal peh. Once they stopped learning things bal peh, they became an entirely different type of Chachmei HaMasora, a much lower level Chachmei HaMasora. Because Chachmei HaMasora means we can connect back to what Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with. And when we change the system enough that we're not even transmitting it the same way Moshe came down from Har Sinai, then we're not really part of that chain anymore as strongly as the previous generation. So it could happen in a short period of time. They were learning Mishnai. When at the Chasimus HaMishnah, Rebbe had organized a corpus of Mishnayos, which didn't exist. That was a game changer. At the Chasimus HaTalmud, they wrote down the Mishnayos. And things were from a written text. That's a game changer. That changes one's status as being part of that chain of Chachmei HaMasora. So that maybe could add a little color to Rav Asher's approach.
Are we talking about like arguing about a halacha which is they're presenting as like basically a halacha Moshinai as Masora itself, or?
Not a halacha Moshe Mishinai. As arguing about like a drasha to make how to derive a halacha.
So why is that? Like, is that a mesorah of that drusha is made?
No, no. What I mean by mesorah is not that these words are handed down from one person, but to the system that you're using is a system, you know, the system of learning that you're using is a system that's been handed down. And your ability to apply that system depends on having learned it from someone who, you know, goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu.
So,
but it's not about specific halachas.
Like knowing all the Mishnayos by heart
what that means is there was a system change. It's not that they knew the Mishnayos by heart. There weren't Mishnayos. And then Rebbe made Mishnayos. And then in a later generation, you're right, that they were doing the Mishnayos, but it was by heart. So it was a system that involved a certain amount of memory and a certain amount of a different style of learning. So once the entire system changes, we're sort of veering from it. We had to do it. We had to veer from the Masorah, because otherwise it would have all been lost. But we can't deny the fact that it's not the same way Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah to Yeshua and his kingdom, etc.
How come of all things they didn't just write down the klalim of that? That's what we lost that disables us from art.
But apparently with their foresight, they saw that it wasn't going to work. That wouldn't have been enough for us. Okay, so this does not explain Rishonim and Achronim at all, right? We'll get to that. We're still just working Tanaim Amoraim and Amoraim to Rishonim. A fourth approach. Rav Elchanan himself in Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, Simon Beis Osei, this is what we saw last time, that the formulation of Mishnayos, Braisa, was done with a group of Kol Chachmei Hadar or Rov Chachmei Hadar, and when Kol or Rov Chachmei Hadar get together and decide to do something, they have the status of the Beis Din HaGadol. Even though they're not actually the Beis Din HaGadol, they have the status of the Beis Din HaGadol. You're not allowed to argue with them. That's Rav Elchanan's approach. That they have the status of the Beis Din HaGadol. So essentially, it turns out that at the time of the Chasimus HaGemara, they had the ability to be cholik on the Mishnah because they also had a status of Beis Din HaGadol. Meaning, once the Mishnah was concluded, okay, Beis Din HaGadol determined, this is it, no one argues. That these are the halachos, no one argues on these halachos. But if you have a later Beis Din that comes along, they're also Beis Din HaGadol, so they can argue. It turns out, according to Rav Elchanan, that there's not really a difference between a Tana and an Amora. All you need is kibbutz kol chachmei hador. You need to call together a big meeting of all the leading rabbis, of all the major, communities and yeshivas and whatever else. Get kol chachmei hador together. You'll get a Beis Din HaGadol together, and then go ahead. You could argue with whatever Gemara you want to argue with. That's a little stunning. Granted, it will never happen. You get all the leading rabbis in the room and see who survives. Good luck. It's never going to happen. It was no face-off. It was very anticlimactic. They were like, lovey-dovey. But get them all in a room together and let them argue away on the Gemara, on the Tanayim, it's all fine. L'chora, that's what comes out from Rav Elchanan. As long as you have a group that takes on the status of Beis HaGadol. Now, when did we ever have that in history? That you can have a group of people, a group of great rabbis that get together, and they take on the status of the Beis HaGadol. When did we ever use that authority? When did anyone ever try to use that authority? Smicha, that's what I was thinking. The Rambam writes in the Perush of Mishnayos Masech Sanhedrin, you know, in order to be most of Aliyah Vazaros, figure out how to build the Beis HaMikdash. You know what we're going to need in order to figure out how to build the Beis HaMikdash? We're going to need Dayanim Smuchim. We're going to need a Beis HaGadol. Beis HaGadol, one of the basic qualifications is to have Dayanim Smuchim. There's only one little problem. How does one get Smicha? Not like what we get nowadays, you know, which you can find it online. How does one get Smicha? The real Smicha? that allows you to issue malchus to people. Worth it, right? It's fine. I'm sorry. It needs to be ish mi pi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how smicha works. Says the Rambam. It's going to be great once we have Tchias HaMesim, but here's the catch. Tchias HaMesim happens after the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So how are we going to build the Beis HaMikdash? It's like a catch 22. We can't have Tchias HaMesim until we build the Beis HaMikdash. But you can't build the Beis HaMikdash without a Sanhedrin HaGadol who all have smicha. But you can't have smicha until you have someone who has smicha and they're all dead. So what do we do? So the Rambam is mechadesh this idea that if kol chachmei hador are maskim, if kol chachmei hador get together and decide to give someone smicha, they serve as the representatives of all of Klal Yisrael and they can give somebody smicha. That sounds a little bit more like what this idea is. That kibbutz kol hachachamim has a certain koach. Now there were many gedolei Yisrael that thought it doesn't even have to be kol chachmei hador, that it could be rov chachmei hador, and that's what created the great smicha controversy in the 15th century, in the early 16th century, when there were people who ran away from Spain, but while they were in Spain, they lived outwardly as Christians. And they felt very guilty about it, and they went to the rabbis and they said, we know we're chayev kares for some of the things that we've done. We also know that chayev krisus, who get malchus, are pater mikrisasam. So give us malchus so that we won't have to suffer the fate of kares. And the rabbi said, look, we'd love to whip the gesundheit out of you, but we're not allowed to. Because unless you have smicha, we're just a thug assaulting you. And you're not allowed to do that. So they said, to get smicha. Well, how are we supposed to get smicha? We don't know anyone who has smicha. Oh, use the Rambam. So a number of Rabbanim got together, this is a historical fact, a number of Rabbanim got together, and they said, look, we are basically Kol Chachmei Hador. In Sfat, this was the center of Torah learning in the world at the time, Maran Beit Yosef, the Al-Sheikh, you know, big, big, big people. And they reinstituted smicha. And all these people, they had smicha. I don't know if they ever actually gave malchus to people, but they had smicha. And then the Rabbanim Yerushalayim got wind of it. And they said, whoa, wait a second. The Rambam says you need kol chachmei hador. What about us? You never asked us. And the Rabbanim in Tzfat said, all due respect, we're greater than you. And we have the majority of the Chachmei Hador, both in terms of our level of learning and in terms of numbers. So, you know, all due respect, but we're able to do without you. And the Rabbanim Yerushalayim said, all due respect, but I agree you're greater than us. But the Rabbanim says, kol Chachmei Hador. He doesn't say, rov Chachmei Hador. And furthermore, you want to disagree with us, that's fine. You're greater than us, you can disagree with us. But you know when you're allowed to disagree? Only when you heard the other side. You never even had a conversation. You never even heard the other side. If you haven't heard the other side, you can't disagree. It's a fundamental of arguing, of debating. You ever try to win a debate? Anyone here was ever on a high school debate team? Really, they're only cool guys here. So you ever try to win a debate without studying the opposition? You will lose every time. Of course, you need to know the opposition. So the Rabbanim Yerushalayim said, "It's very nice that you decided to vote on giving smicha, but you know you didn't study the opposition." So anyway. The idea of Kol Chachmei Hador getting together and becoming the Beis Din HaGadol is a big deal. And says Rav Elchanan, that must be what happened. There is a sefer called Kovetz Inyanim. Just from the title, you can tell it's probably the Torah of... Come on, which name have we been throwing around that has very similar title to Svarim? What? Rav Elchanan. Why? Because what are Rav Elchanan's Svarim? Kovetz Haaretz, Kovetz Shiurim, Kovetz Mamarim.
That's what that.
So there is a lesser known sefer called Kovetz Inyanim that collected other writings of Rav Elchanan, and there was a correspondence between Rav Elchanan and the Chazon Ish about this chiddush of Rav Elchanan, where the Chazon Ish saw that Rav Elchanan said that the reason Amorayim don't argue on Tanayim is because it was a Beis Din Hagadol, and any generation that has a Beis Din Hagadol can choose to argue on an earlier generation. Says the Chazon Ish, I'll just read three words of the Chazon Ish. V'hadvarim asur l'shoman. You're not allowed to listen to such words. So Rav Elchanan was a little taken aback, and he said, let me explain. He says, I'm not denying that Tanayim were greater than Amorayim. For sure they were. And that's, for the most part, that's why Amorayim didn't want to argue on Tanayim. They didn't want to, because they understood that Tanayim were greater than them. I'm not denying Yeridas HaDoros. I'm not denying that there are lines that if someone today wanted to argue on an Amora, that you're not allowed to do that. Of course. But, says Rav Elchanan, what I meant to say is that an absolute rule? What makes it absolute? What if you have a person that's 500 years ahead of his time or behind his time, however you want to look at it, and really, like, he belongs in a different door? You know, someone who defies the natural progression of Yeridas HaDoros. Can you think of anyone in Jewish history like that? Huh? The Gra is the example Rav Elchanan gave. So, like, Kulei Amalo Pligi, that the Gra was not, like, just another rabbi in his generation. So such a person is technically permitted to argue on Rishon, or would be permitted to argue on Rishon, because he's risen to a different level. Rav Asher points out that there's a tshuva in the Nadav Yudin of Nezer Simenayin Tes, where he doesn't quote the context of the tshuva. The context of the tshuva was when Nadav Yudin was asked about violating the tzava of Rav Yudah HaChassid. Rav Yudah HaChassid said certain things in the tzava, in his tzava, that don't appear to have any basis in Shas, and other things that seem to go against explicit Gemara. Rav Yudah HaChassid encouraged certain shiduchim that the Gemara discouraged certain shiduchim the Gemara encouraged, made up certain things that don't appear anywhere, like don't marry someone who has the same name as your mother. That's from Rabbi Yudah HaChassid, doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. You're not allowed to marry someone with the same name as your mother. So they asked Nadav Yudah, like, you know, do we need to be makbid about all these things that Rabbi Yudah HaChassid says? And Nadav Yudah has a lot of very sharp lines in that tshuva. But one of the things he says is, you know, Chazal also have things about who to marry and who not to marry. That you're supposed to marry a bas Talmud Chacham. You should marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. He said, I'm still waiting for my first shayla about that. If someone says, you know, but is she a bas Talmud Chacham? No, they just want to know if she has money. They don't care if she's a bas Talmud Chacham. They want to know what size dress she wears. They don't care if she's a bas Talmud Chacham. He says, but Rabbi Yudah HaChassid, you're worried about this and that. And then Rabbi Yudah says something like jarring. He says, V'yudvarim alalu chakukim aluach libecha, lezikaron. I want you to always remember this. This has to become a part of you. Haklal hagodol. She'ein l'kol chachamim sha'achar ha-Talmud rushus lomar dover neged ha-Talmud. No one after the times of the Gemara is permitted to say anything against the Gemara. Va'omer dover listor kutso yud midivrei ha-Talmud. And anyone who says anything that goes against a little kutso shal yud, a little edge of a letter yud in the Gemara, lo yichashiv b'chlal chachmei Yisrael. He's off the island. He cannot be part of the Chachmei Yisrael. What happens if you have someone who you know is part of the Chachmei Yisrael, and he says weird things that seem to be against Gemaras, like Rabbi Yudah HaChassid, where you know that he was part of the Chachmei Yisrael, we know enough about him, then you got to work really hard to be Matari, so he's not really against the Gemara. Because you're not allowed to go against the Gemara. So, again, emphasizing this point, that Amoraim, that Rishonim, rather, cannot really argue on Amoraim. The Chazon Ish, in his letters, essentially says a similar approach to Rav Asher. He writes, that the generation after the Mishnah saw miut halavavos neged balei Mishnah. They saw that they just didn't measure up. So they said it's silly for us to argue. It doesn't make sense for us to argue. We should only try to figure out what the Mishnah said. And the Stama, the same thing happened in the days of the Rishonim. Rav Asher Weiss then points out that there is support in Rishonim for B'chaim's idea. That if someone who's a miyuchad bedoro is really allowed, I'm sorry, for what was Rav Chaim's idea? Rav Chaim's idea that they can argue, they just usually didn't. That there's nothing wrong with arguing. Points out the Meiri in his Psicha to Maseches Avos kind of says that we just don't, but we really can if we want. Okay, so that's Tanayim Amarayim. Let's move up before we move down the list. Let's move up the list. Who came before the Tanayim? So before the Tanayim was the Nevi'im. Can a Tana argue on a Navi?
Have you heard that question asked before?
Can a Tana argue on a Navi? They use the Nevi'im to darshan things, right? I'm not talking about something that made it into the Sifrei Tanakh. I'm not talking about something that was in Nevuah Shehutzru Chol HaDaros, not even Divrei Nevi'im. Many Nevi'im, all of them, all the Jewish ones, also happen to be Talmidei Chacham. You know, that's the question the Achronim have when we say Teiku. That Eliyahu Navi, if you assume it means Tishri Tari Tzkushas Vivayos, he's going to come and paskin al pi nevuah. You know what we'll have to do to him if he tries to paskin al pi nevuah? We're going to have to kill him. So Maritz Chayis writes, I think we discussed this once this year. No, Eliyahu Navi's not going to come and paskin al pi nevuah. Because aside from being a Navi, Eliyahu Navi also has a side gig as a Talmud Chacham. So when he comes back, he's going to paskin as a Talmud Chacham. So what if he says something as a Talmud Chacham? Can a Tana argue on a Navi? Interesting question. In Maseches Bechoros, Daf Nun Zayin and Beis, Machlokas Tanaim, when is the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema? Every year you have to count up how many animals are born into your flock and give 10% of it for Meiser Behema. 90% to keep for yourself, 10% Meiser Behema. So how do you determine what's every year? Does the year start at Tishrei or at Elul? So Gemara says, Amr ben Azai, ho v'alolam kach. Since it's a machlokas, I don't know what to do with those animals that were born in Elul. Ha elulin misasrin ba'atzman. The Elul birthday animals have their own meiser. It's like, where do you cut off, you know, like the school years, right? Where? What's the cutoff point? Right, so the people caught in no man's land, they're either going to be the slowest and smallest kid in the older grade or the biggest and whatever in the younger grade. Where do you put him? Mis Asun Atzman, make it in between grade. So says Mar Veluchsi Taimi Deman Mistaver. Why don't we just look at the two opinions and see which one makes more sense? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? And if you say that no, Ben Azai couldn't figure that out, he couldn't figure out who's more Mistaver. That can't be, because says the Gemara, Ben Azai Omer Kol Chachma Yisrael Domina Like Klipas Hashum Chutz Min Akirei Chazeh, that all the Chachma Yisrael are like a garlic peel to me. They're nothing. I could blow them away like nothing. Meaning Ben Azai knew his stuff. So Amar Rav Yochanan mi pi Hashmua Amrua mi pi Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Ben Azai didn't have to argue on Tanayim. It was this figuring out which side was more mistaver was a machlokas about the Divrei Nevi'im. Divrei Nevi'im, well, that we can't. We can't enter into such a machlokas. Tanaim can't argue on Nevi'im. So apparently there was another cutoff point. That gives you the impression that the cutoff point was as a result of inability to understand their opinions ad hasof, you know, to fully understand their opinions. Let's move down generations now. Can Achronim argue on Rishonim? Can Achronim argue on Rishonim? There's a Chuvus Maram Alshich, Simon Laman Tess, who comments on a Maharik, who in turn paskins against Tosos. What happened? Tosos, Rishon or Achron? Rishon. Maharik, very early Achron, right? Marik argues on Tosos. Comes along the Maram Alshich and he says, we can't paskin like the Marik against Tosos, because even though we have a rule of Hilchsa Kibasra'i, that's within a segment, within Amoraim, you paskin like the later one. But if they're on a totally different playing field, they're on a totally different Madrega, then we don't say Hilchsa Kibasra'i. You don't say we'll paskin like Amoraim against Tanaim. And therefore he says, I'm sorry, Marik, you just can't argue on Tosos. You're not allowed to. You're playing in different arenas. Tosos is Rishon, you're an Achron. Who disagrees and thinks that a Marik is allowed to argue on Tosos? The Marik. He did it. He obviously holds that an Achron is allowed to argue with a Rishon. There were, even in other generations of Achronim who were not afraid to argue with Rishon. The Marshal, for example, if you ever read, what the Marshal writes in his Hakdama, it's like, it's shocking. Marshal was a big believer in Chachmei Ashkenaz, so much so that he didn't mind saying very negative sounding things about the Chachmei Svara. You know, people like the Rambam, where he's like, please, the Rambam can't hold a candle to Rabbeinu Tam. I don't know how you measure people like this, you know? The Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam, Marshal's like, come on. He's no Rabbeinu Tam. But Marshal argues in Rishonim all the time. He'll say, yeah, the Rambam was wrong. Not like, oh, sorry, you know me, because I can't answer. No, he was wrong. All the time. Shagas Aryeh, we pointed out the other day. In Turi Evan, here's what he does. This is what Rashi says, this is why he's wrong. This is what Tosfos says, this is why he's wrong. And here's what I say. That's how he operated. The Gra, a lot of times, would argue on Rishon. Okay, so apparently it's at least debatable. Or maybe not debatable, maybe for the most part, Achronim aren't supposed to argue on Rishon, but every once in a while you have, you know, a real special one. What about on the Shulchan Aruch? Once the Shulchan Aruch has been completed, can we argue on the Shulchan Aruch? The Nosikelim seem to think so. There's a Tshuvas Tzemach Tzedek and a Tshuvas Avodas HaGershuni who were both B'nei Doro of the Shulchan Aruch, and they both write HaPoresh Me'a Shulchan Aruch K'Poresh Min HaChayim, that you cannot separate from the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, in his time, you know how rare that is? In his time, they already appreciated that he's just different. Rav Yosef Karo is just different. Heads and shoulders above everybody else, no one could touch it. In the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua, who's not so long after, if I'm not mistaken, the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua is the grandfather of the Pnei Yeshua and Shatz. You know, when you tell someone the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua is not the same person as the Pnei Yeshua, they're like, who ripped off the Pnei Yeshua? No, the Pnei Yeshua ripped off his own grandfather's name. Right? The Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua, I think, is the grandfather. So he was not so long after the Beis Yosef, and he says, you know, the Chachmei HaMedina were Mekabel Shulchan Aruch Kedivrei Moshe Mipia Gevura. Shulchan Aruch is like Moshe Mipia Gevura. But then he says, but on the other hand, he's wrong about certain things, and Shmuel Bedaro Ki Yiftach Bedaro, and every rabbi has an obligation to speak his mind, and I have to speak my mind when I disagree. You know, you have a similar, like, kind of nuanced approach. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, in his Tshuvas, in Chelek Aleph Siman Ayin Hey, writes about the godless of the Shulchan Aruch, Ei Efshar Lachlok Alav. You can't be cholik on the Shulchan Aruch. But then elsewhere, in Chelek Beis of his Tshuvas Siman Chav, he describes, like, how big a Talmud Chacham do you have to be in order to be a Mora Hara'ah, in order to paskin halachos for the Jewish people? So he says, I heard from my father. Who is Rabbi Yaakov Emden's father? Anyone know? Chacham Tzvi. Good. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, I heard from my father, who has a tradition from the Chalkas Mechokek, one of the commentaries on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, that a person cannot be a Mora Hara'ah of Yisrael, Ela im kein biyado lakor v'limcho ksif min ha-Shulchan Aruch. Until he's strong enough to rip out a sif in the Shulchan Aruch and say that that sif is incorrect. So on the one hand, he says, oh, no one can ever argue on the Shulchan Aruch. Then he says, you're nobody if you can't argue on the Shulchan Aruch. So exactly how, you know, what you see is it's not ironclad. What about the Gra? Does the Gra get special standing because he was the Gra? So Chazon Ish writes in Simen Yudalid, Michtav Beis, Kol shekeinim yatsa adav mipi agra shaya ke'echad min harishonim asher nitan lo rishos lachluk al harishonim. The Gra's a Rishon. That is historically inaccurate by hundreds of years. Yeah, but the Gra's a Rishon. That's how the Chazon Ish understands. Not everyone felt that way. The Chachmas Adam, anyone know the Chachmas Adam's relationship to the Gra?
Talmud and
Mechutin. But not really Mechutin. The Chachmas Adam would always say Mechutani HaGra, but I think it was the Chachmas Adam's child who married the Gra's grandchild. So they were like Mechutanim once removed. But you know, like if you're related to the Gra, you know, you take it. Like my wife has an uncle that I really, two uncles that I really, really like. So they're my uncles. Like if I didn't like them so much, and I wouldn't call them my uncles, you know? So, the Chachmas Adam, and this is amazing, I never knew this before, Rav Asher pointed out, if you were to find a first edition of the Chachmas Adam, the author of Chachmas Adam, what else did he write? He wrote another very important sefer, Chaye Adam. So he says, if you look at the first edition of the Chachmas Adam, the very first edition, and in every subsequent edition this has been removed, including the editions that were published in his lifetime. But in the very first edition of Chachmas Adam, in the Sharblat, there's a note to the Jewish public that says, you will not find the Gra quoted anywhere in this Sefer. And it's your fault that he's not quoted anywhere in this Sefer. You, the readers, it's your fault. Because I wrote a Sefer Chaye Adam, and I quoted the Gra all the time. And from time to time, I disagreed with the Gra. And the abuse I got for disagreeing with the Gra. Who do you think you are? How could you disagree with the Gra? Do you know what the Gra is? You little cockroach. You know, the abuse I took, I just can't handle it anymore. So I couldn't quote the Gra in the whole book. A note from the author. He took it out in subsequent publishing. But you see just how contentious it already was in the times of the Gra. And it's not like the Chachmas Adam didn't respect the Gra. I mean, he writes in his Hakdama to the Sefer Zichru Toras Moshe, Zachinu liros be'einenu. We were zocha to see with our own eyes, Mechutani maranov rabbana ga'on Yisrael u'kadosha Rabbi Eliyahu chassid. That's what they used to call him, by the way. The chassid mivilna. Till chassid took on a different meaning and turned out to be not something the Gra really so identified with. But that's in his lifetime. He wasn't the gaon of Vilna. He was the chassid of Vilna. Hu haya ir v'kadosh ke'echad min harishonim v'kol midol shemanu chacham b'tam l'chacham nigla v'nister l'kol hayubo. Everything the chacham say that a tam l'chacham should have, he had it all. Bein b'torah, bein b'yira, bein b'anagosav v'kol shas, bavli, yushalmi, sifra, sifri, mechilta, tosefta kol ha-medrashim ha-yiruchim v'piv. He knew everything. And even more than that, v'poskim, rishonim, achronim, rashi, tosos. You could see it, it's right there for you to read. Seder limud shalom. Hayi kimitzava leinu b'moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. Hayi lomi Torah shebichsav and perusha and emor balpeh. He will learn Torah shebichsav and all the explanations of it, balpeh. Bofen sheyodea lidrosh b'chol osva os unukudosav. He knew how to dash in every letter and its nukudos. And all that's just in the chelek ha-nigla. We haven't even gotten to the chelek ha-nistar yet. He held that the Gra was pretty good. But he also held that he was allowed to argue on the Gra. The Gra lo halach dal rams lo torah lo tzvili. You ever read the introduction to the Bira Gra that the children of the Gra write about his habits? You know, how little he slept, how little he ate. Not human. Kimat, not human. So was he mamish, not human?
So that's crazy.
Mamish, not human. So there are people that say, well, the Gra never could have forgotten anything because he was the Gra. So Rav Asher says, he's human also. And human beings forget. He says, you know why human beings forget? Because memory is, you know, information is like food. And memory, you know, memory works very, very similar to the way the appetite works. You know when you start getting hungry again? When you stop eating. Like, it's a very slow process. But, like, you feel full for a while. But after a while, you're going to forget something. You know, you're going to get hungry again. So you're fed information, and it's great. And if you just learned it, it's still there. It's just that for me, it, like, takes, like, a second. And it's, you know, in one ear, out the other. And you comfort yourself with, oh, at least it went through, you know? But for the Gra, it took a lot longer. But he says, for sure the Gra forgot. And Rav Asher says, don't take my word for it, I'll prove it. The Gra writes, he collects six places in the Bir Gra on Shulchan Aruch, where he writes a Chiddush, and then he says, ah, achar kach matzasi, shekein kasav, I later found that it was written in, that the same idea was written in. What do you mean later found? You're supposed to know everything. You're the Gra. So, okay, it must be some obscure sefer that he's quoting. I later found that there was some obscure sefer that was written in. You know what he says? Achar kach matzasi betosfos. Achar kach matzasi beramban. There's no way the Gra sat down to write the Bir Gra before he learned every Tosfos in Shas and every Ramban in Shas. Obviously, he forgot every once in a while. He was also a human being, so it should give us some comfort to know that he was a human being. And then Rav Asher wraps it all up with the most recent Gadol Behora'a that was clearly heads and shoulders above everybody else and beyond his entire generation. And that was someone that I was zocha to share this earth with for a very short period of time. About 8 years or so. And that is? Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said, Rav Moshe, as far as I'm concerned, Rav Moshe was, you know, they say when Rav Moshe used to call in Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shlomo Zalman would put on his hat and jacket and stand up. They were on the telephone. There was only, they weren't like Skyping or, you know, video chatting or whatever, I don't know what you call it. They were on a telephone. He didn't see him. You don't have to stand or something. He doesn't see you. Doesn't matter. Ramesh is on the phone. Ramesh was, like, people forget. Who was telling me? I think Rav David Willard was telling me that, like, he remembers that someone had a, had brought a letter. I think it was either him or a friend of his had brought a letter from Ramesh to bring to Rav Eliyashiv or to Rav Shlomo Zalman, Teretz Yisrael. And he said, so he called him up as soon as he got there. He said, I have a letter from Ramesha. I'll bring it to you tomorrow. Next thing he knows, there's a knock at his door. I can't wait. Ramesha sent the letter. Can't wait. These weren't little people, but Ramesha was Ramesha. So Ramesha just points out that we're not all Ramesha. You know, he says, like, if you look at Ramesha's tshuvas, he has a very unique style. He's mechadish things. Rav Shapti used to always comment all the time that people think Rav Moshe was like the traditional rabbi, and Rav Soloveitchik would say chidushim miflayim. They're like, oh my gosh, everything is new and modern and whatever. So Rav Soloveitchik, in terms of Pesach Halacha, was like very traditional. Rav Moshe would have like these incredible twists and chidushim that really jump off the page of Igros Moshe. And part of that is part of what allowed him that creativity. Was that he didn't really learn Achronim very much, or at least didn't allow them to play a major role in his Piskei Halacha. You know how he had time to finish, what did they say, 700 times Shas and 10 million times Shulchan Aruch, or whatever the numbers are? He had time to do that because he wasn't reading a lot of other stuff. And his Piskei Halacha, yeah, every once in a while, he'll quote a Chassam Sofer and Neid B'Yehuda, the big ones, the B'Kiveger. But, you know, put side by side, Rav Avadia Yosef, any tshuva from Rav Avadia Yosef, and any tshuva from Moshe, and count how many achronim each of them quote. It's likely to be in triple digits in Rav Avadia's tshuvas, and likely to be in single digits, if not just a zero, in Rav Moshe's tshuvas. That was his style, that was his creativity. Says Rav Asher, I don't think we can do that anymore. I think we need to see achronim, just to know what the ideas are that are out there, what they're talking about, what they're bothered by, what they're, you know, even if we don't have to agree with everything the Gedolei Achronim say, he says, for the most part, we should try to be metaritz Rabbi Akiva Eiger rather than disagree with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. But we need that fodder for our brains in order to be confident that we actually looked at the question from every angle. But Moshe didn't need it. because he was Rav Moshe. He was different. So every once in a while, you have someone who defies the Yeridas Hadaras. Like, I was listening to an interview with Rav David Yosef, and the interviewer said to Rav David Yosef, who's Rav Avadia's son, "You know, your father was the greatest rabbi since the Rambam, right?" Like, I don't know why you would say that to him. And Rav David said, "I don't think it's such a good idea to be comparing, you know, who is greater than who." But like there was a sense in the Ashkenazi world, you know, just like in the Sephardi world, there was certainly, as in terms of influence, that there has never been a more influential Sephardic rabbi as Rav Avadia Yosef since the Mechaber, probably. But you know, Ben Ishchai maybe, but probably the Mechaber in terms of influence. But in terms of godless, the Ashkenazi world essentially sees Rav Moshe as someone who is centuries ahead of his time, or behind it. Again, we hold that you read the Sederah, so you know. Behind this time. But that's a little bit, again, I apologize for the veering off of our normal topic. But Ezra's Hashem.